أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, we seek His help and we seek His forgiveness. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none who can misguide Him. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to go astray, indeed there is none who can guide him aright. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of all the prophets. After what proceeds, Alhamdulillah, this is in continuation of our intensive studies course. I'm glad to greet everyone present. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the benefit of the dars. Inshallah ta'ala, today we'll go over the virtues of the 10 days, or the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And I'm basing my information, where I'm getting the virtues from, is by the fatawa, or the fatwa, given by Shaykh Salih Al-Munajjid, Hafizullah. So inshallah ta'ala, today we're going to learn some wherein the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam informed us that these are the best days. And alhamdulillah, it's beneficial that we sit down and we learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us during these days, or requires from us, or advises us to do during these days. And inshallah ta'ala, we can train ourselves to try to implement some of the sunnah during these days. The Sheikh started by asking a question: how do the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah differ from other days of the year? And in answering this question, the Sheikh, alhamdulillah, wrote about 6 pages on answering this question. He starts by praising to Allah who has created time and has made some times better than others, some months and days and nights better than others, when rewards are multiplied many times as a mercy toward his slaves. This encourages them to do more righteous good deeds and makes them more eager to worship him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslim renews his efforts to gain a greater share of reward, prepare himself for death, and supply himself in readiness of the day of judgment. This season of worship, subhanAllah, this season of worship brings many benefits, such as the opportunity to correct one's faults and to make up for any shortcomings or anything that one might have missed. Every one of these special occasions involves some kind of worship through which the slave may draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some kind of blessing through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows his favor and mercy upon whomsoever he wills. The happy person is the one who makes the most of these special months, days, and hours, and draws nearer to his Lord during these times through acts of worship. He will most likely to be touched by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will feel the joy of knowing that he is safe from the flames of hell. And this quote was the Sheikh is quoting a statement from Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah. The Muslim must understand the value of his life, increase his worship of Allah, and persist in doing good deeds until the moment of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, interpretation of the meaning, quote, and worship your Lord until there comes unto you the certainty. This is in Surah Al-Hajr, verse 99. The Mufassirin, the commentators of the Quran, they said the certainty means the death. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Among the special seasons of worship are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preferred over all other days of the year. And alhamdulillah. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, reported that the Prophet alayhi salat wa salam said, quote, there are no days in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days, end quote. The people asked, quote, not even jihad for the sake of Allah, end quote. He said, quote, not even jihad for the sake of Allah, except in the case of a man who went out to fight, giving himself and his wealth up for the cause, and came back with nothing. And this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu also reported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, quote, there is no deed more precious in the sight of Allah, nor greater in reward than a good deed done during the 10 days of sacrifice, end quote. He was asked, quote, not even jihad for the sake of Allah, end quote. He said, quote, not even jihad for the sake of Allah, except in the case of a man who went out to fight, giving himself and his wealth up for the cause, and came back with nothing, end quote. And this is in the Sahih, and the Hadith is Sahih, Hassan. The Sheikh commentated, these texts and others indicate that these 10 days are better than all other days of the year, with no exceptions, not even the last 10 days of Ramadan. But the last 10 nights of Ramadan are better, because they include Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, which is better than 1,000 months. Thus, the various reports may be reconciled. And he said that the Sheikh Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, is also in support of this view. The Sheikh said, you should know, my brethren in Islam, that the virtue of these 10 days is based on many things. Now, alhamdulillah, we're going to go into some points, inshallah ta'ala, that the Sheikh is citing some of the virtues that in which this view is based. Number one, Allah swears an oath by them. And swearing an oath by something is indicative of its importance and a great benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, interpretation of the meaning, quote, by the dawn and by the 10 nights. This is in Surah Al-Fajr, verse 1 and 2. Ibn Abbas, Ibn Zubayr al-Mujahid, and others of the earlier and later generations said that this refers to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, said, quote, this is the correct opinion. Point number two, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam testified that these are the best days of this world, as we have already quoted from the above Sahih al-Hadith. Number three, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged people to do righteous deeds because of the virtue of this season for people throughout the world, and also because of the virtue of the police for the Hujjaj, the pilgrims of the sacred house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number four, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to recite a lot of tasbih, subhanallah, tahmid, alhamdulillah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, during this time. Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him and his father, reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, quote, "There are no days greater in the sight of Allah and in which righteous deeds are more beloved to him than these 10 days. So during this time, recite a great deal of tahleel, la ilaha illallah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, tahmeed, alhamdulillah." And this hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Sunnah. And the hadith is sahih. Number five, these 10 days include Yawm al-Arafah, the day of Arafah, on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected this religion. Fasting on this day will expiate for the sins of 2 years. These days include Yawm al-Nahar, the day of sacrifice, the greatest day of the entire year, and the greatest day of Hajj, which combines acts of worship in a way unlike other days.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn it off.
Number six, these 10 days include the days of sacrifice and of Hajj. So the Sheikh, he's made these 6 points and put this as evidence of being the best of the days of the year. And there's another question that was posed: what must the Muslim avoid during these 10 days if he wants to offer a sacrifice? In answer to this question, the Sheikh gave his answer. The Sunnah indicates that the one who wants to offer a sacrifice must stop cutting his hair and nails and removing anything from his skin from the beginning of the 10 days until after he has offered his sacrifice. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, quote, "When you see the new moon of Dhul Hijjah, if any of you wants to offer a sacrifice, then he should stop cutting his hair and nails until he has offered his sacrifice." Akhi. Assalamu alaikum. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, quote, "When you see the new moon of Dhul Hijjah, if any of you wants to offer a sacrifice, then he should stop cutting his hair and nails until he has offered the sacrifice," end quote. According to another report, he says, quote, "He should not remove anything from his hair or skin," end quote. And this hadith is reported by Muslim with 4 isnads. 13:146. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructions here makes that one thing obligatory and his prohibition makes another haram. According to the soundest opinion, because these commands and prohibitions are unconditional and unavoidable. However, if a person does any of these things deliberately, he must seek Allah's forgiveness. But it is not required to offer an extra sacrifice in expiation. Meaning, if he accidentally forgets or does it unintentional to cut his fingernails or to trim his hair, not being disobedient to the messenger, but out of forgiveness. He says, if you do this, you don't have to make an extra sacrifice because you didn't do it deliberately. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then he continued, but it is not required to offer an extra sacrifice in expiation. His sacrifice will be acceptable. Whoever needs to remove some hair, nails, etc., because it is harming him, such as having a broken nail or a wound in a site where there is hair, should do so. And there is nothing wrong with that. The state of ihram is so important that it is permitted to cut one's hair if leaving it will cause harm. There is nothing wrong with men or women washing their heads during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only forbade cutting the hair and washing it. He didn't forbade for us to wash it. The Sheikh continued, the wisdom behind this prohibition of the one who wants to offer a sacrifice from cutting his hair, etc., is so that he may resemble those in ihram in some aspects of the rituals performed, and so that he may draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by offering the sacrifice. So he leaves his hair and nails alone until the time when he has offered his sacrifice, in hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save him in his entirety from the flames of the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If a person has cut his hair or nails during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah because he was not planning to offer a sacrifice, then he decides later during the 10 days to offer the sacrifice, then he must refrain from cutting his hair and nails until he has made this decision. And meaning that if you cut your hair and trim your nails during the time of the first 10 days, and then all of a sudden you say, Inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to sacrifice. From that moment, that is when you stop and you don't cut your hair or you don't trim your nails or cut your nails any time after you make this decision or make the intention. Some women may delegate their brothers or sons to make the sacrifice on their behalf, then cut their hair during these 10 days. The Sheikh said, this is not correct because the ruling applies to the one who is offering the sacrifice, whether or not he or she delegates someone else to carry out the actual deed. The prohibition does not apply to the person delegated, only the person who is making the sacrifice, as is indicated in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person who is offering the sacrifice on behalf of someone else, for whatever reason, does not have to adhere to this prohibition. So in essence, if someone doesn't have the time, or for whatever reason, he can't make the sacrifice, or he doesn't want to make the sacrifice, but he delegates someone to sacrifice, or pays someone to make the sacrifice for his sake, for his or her behalf, then the Sheikh is saying, the one who is delegated to do it, he doesn't refrain from cutting his hair or trimming his nails or taking from his skin, but the Sheikh is saying this doesn't apply to him. It applies to the one who paid the person or delegated the person to offer the sacrifice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This prohibition appears to apply only to the one who is offering the sacrifice, not to his wife or children, unless any of them is offering a sacrifice in his or her own right, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to offer sacrifice, quote, on behalf of the family of Muhammad, end quote. But there are no reports that he made them, his family, to refrain from cutting their hair or nails. So in essence, if the head of the household says, okay, he shot to himself, okay, in his heart, I'm going to, you know, offer a sacrifice for Allah, you don't make your family refrain from cutting their hair or trimming their nails or taking from their skin or whatever, but you, the one who intends to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfillment of the sunnah, you are the only one who refrain from cutting the hair and trimming the nails or cutting the nails. The Sheikh continued, if a person was planning to offer a sacrifice, then he decides to go and perform Hajj, he should not cut his hair or nails if he wants to enter Ihram, because the Sunnah is only to cut the hair and nails when necessary. But if he is performing Tamattu', whereby he performs Umrah, comes out of Ihram and enters Ihram anew for Hajj, he should trim his hair at the end of his Umrah, because this is part of the ritual. The things that are described above as being prohibited for the person who is planning to offer a sacrifice are reported in the hadith quoted above. The person is not forbidden to wear perfume, have mutual relations with his, with mutual relations, wear sewn garments, etc. This is not for the person who is at home and not performing Hajj. Just because you have intention to offer a sacrifice, it doesn't mean that you have to refrain from anything except what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered. So if you have intention, it doesn't mean that, okay, I can't wear sewn garments, I can't put on perfume, I can't have mutual relations with my partner. No, this doesn't mean this. All it means is that you need to, or you should to, or you must stay away from cutting your hair and trimming or cutting your nails. The Sheikh continued, concerning the types of worship to be performed during these 10 days, one must understand that these days are a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his slave, which is appreciated properly by actively doing righteous good deeds. It is the Muslim's duty to appreciate the blessings and make the most of the opportunity by devoting these 10 days and to paying more attention to striving hard in worship. Among his blessings to his slaves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many ways in which to do good and to worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the Muslim may constantly be participating and consistently in his worship of his Lord. So it's like saying, okay, subhanallah, we all have knowledge as believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the good deeds to be done during these days, extra good deeds. And for us to make a lot of takbir and tahleel. So the knowledgeable one, he tries to take advantage of these days, these blessed days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made so much khair, so much good to descend during these times. And so us, as knowing this, it is inconceivable for us to be slaves who are seeking his pleasure to be negligent and increasing our worship during these days. That is not logical. all those who are believers in Allah in the last day should increase their good deeds during this time and be cognizant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to strive to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these times. Okay? It's like a man who was said, it was said to him, okay, here is a vault of gold. Okay? And the vault is so huge, filled with gold, a mansion full of gold and diamonds and all the silver and all of the cash and all of the good things. And it is said to this man, okay, you got 10 days to get what you want. Right? So during these days, what do you think this man is going to do? SubhanAllah. He has things all on his back, all in his pockets, all in his hands, right, in his shoes. Right? A backpack, he'd be renting a U-Haul to pull all of that good deeds, all of those virtues, all that wealth out of the safe. Right? Similarly, us as worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to treat this special time like this man treats this special time span and getting all he can get. Right? So the Shaykh continued, among the good deeds which the Muslim should strive to do during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are. Now I want to put emphasis on this advice the Shaykh is about to give. Rahimahullah. And so us can be aware of some things that we can do during this time. Number one, fasting. Fasting. The Shaykh said it is sunnah to fast on the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam urged us to do good deeds during this time. And fasting is one of the best of deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen fasting for himself as is stated in the Hadith Qursi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, all deeds of the Son of Man are for him, except for fasting, which is for me, and I am the one who will reward him for it, end quote. This is Sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on the night of Dhul Hijjah. Hunayda ibn Khalid reported from his wife that some of the wives, or you sisters out there, listen. Some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, quote, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam used to fast on the night of Dhul Hijjah, on the day of Ashura, on the 3 days of each month, and on the first, and on Mondays and Thursdays of each month. Hadith Sahih. And the second thing that we could do extra during these days, the Shaykh said, rahimahullah, take beer. Okay? It is sunnah to say Allah takbir, Allahu Akbar, tahmid, alhamdulillah, tahleel, la ilaha illallah, and tasbih, subhanallah, during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and to say it, what? Loudly. Okay? And to say it loudly in the mosque, the home, the street, and every place where it is permitted to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mention His name out loud as an act of worship and as a proclamation of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He be exalted. Men should recite these phrases out loud and women should recite them quietly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, interpretation of the meaning, quote, that they might witness things that are of benefit to them, i.e. reward of Hajj in the hereafter, and also some worldly gain for trade, etc., and mention the name of Allah on appointed days over the beast of cattle that he has provided for them, i.e. for sacrifice. This is in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 28. The Sheikh continue, the majority of scholars agree that the appointed days are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, because the words of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, quote, the appointed days are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, end quote. The takfir may include the words, quote, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, walillahi alhamd. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. There's no God but Allah, Allah is the greatest, and to Allah belongs the praise, as well as other phrases. Takbir at this time is an aspect of the sunnah that has been forgotten. Okay, so all of us out there who are eager to revive the sunnah of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should focus on trying to revive this one. The Sheikh said this is a sunnah that has been forgotten, especially during the early part of this period, so much so that one hardly ever hears takbir except from a few people. This takbir should be pronounced loudly, right, in order to revive the sunnah, as a reminder to the negligent. There is sound evidence, alhamdulillah, we have the delay. There is sound evidence that Ibn Umar, Abu Huraira, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them both, used to go out to the marketplace during the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, recite takbir, and the people would recite takbir when they heard them. And this was done in reminding the people to recite takbir during this time. And the Sheikh said that one should do this individually, not in unison, as there is no basis in Sharia for doing this in unison. The Sheikh, alhamdulillah, has some more treats for us. He said, reviving aspects of the sunnah that have been virtually forgotten is a deed that will bring an immense reward. Now, all those believers who have their pens and paper, I want y'all to pay attention. Is a statement from our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sheikh said it will bring an immense reward, as indicated by the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quote, whoever revives an aspect of my sunnah that has been forgotten after my death, Allahumma salli Muhammad, he will have a reward equivalent to that of the people who follow him, without it detracting in the least from their reward. Subhanallah. And this hadith is sahih. And this could be found in Tirmidhi. So the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever revives an aspect of my sunnah that has been forgotten after my death, he will have a reward equivalent to that of the people who follow him, without it detracting in the least from their reward. Okay? And I heard, it was translated, or we learned from the Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, where he said that you don't have to worry about Allah giving you reward. Will Allah give me a reward for every step to the masjid? And the Sheikh said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Kareem. He's the generous, and he gives to whom he wills without limits. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, we have a noble and generous Lord. Point number three, performing Hajj and Umrah is one of the best deeds that one can do during these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And to perform Hajj to the sacred house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one whom Allah helps to go to Hajj, to his house, to perform all the rituals properly, is indicated in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quote, an accepted Hajj brings no less a reward than Jannah in paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us paradise. Ameen. Number four, doing more good deeds in general, because good deeds are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will bring a great reward from Him. Whoever is not able to go to Hajj should occupy himself at this blessed time by worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying Salah, reciting the Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua, supplication sincerely for His pleasure, giving charity, honoring his parents, upholding the ties of kinship, enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil, and other good deeds and acts of worship. And number five, sacrificing. Sacrifice, one of the good deeds that will bring a person closer to Allah during these 10 days, is offering a sacrifice by choosing a high quality animal. Okay? Right? Not the cheapest one you can find. No. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all with that. But when you sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to make sure that everything that is in your means to get the best of the best of the best animals to sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sheikh said to pick a high quality animal and fattening it, spending money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number six, sincere repentance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. One of the most important things to do during these 10 days is to repent sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to give up all kinds of disobedience and sin. Repentance means come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and foregoing all the deeds, open and secret, that He dislikes. Out of regret for what has passed, giving it up immediately and being determined never to return to it, but to adhere firmly to the truth by doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. If a Muslim commits a sin, he must hasten to repent at once without delay. Firstly, because you don't know when you're going to die, right? I want the person to raise his hand who knows when he's going to die. None of us can. So that one of the greatest of war tactics is to be ready, so you won't have to what? Get ready. A lot of the kafirun, they say, when you give da'wah to these kafirs, they say, oh man, I would love to be a Muslim, but I just can't stop drinking. I would love to become a Muslim, but it seems like y'all got too many rules, right? So the kafir, the ones who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commit shirk, they want to be where you at. They want to be righteous. But what keeps them from being righteous or repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they think that they will live forever. When I get old, oh man, when I graduate, I'm going to start going to the mosque. right? When my kids grow up, I'm going to go to Hajj, subhanAllah. Or one day, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to start back making prayer, subhanAllah. And the Sheikh is encouraging all of us that we should look at ourselves and we should look in the mirror and we should examine ourselves and try to get rid of that which he thinks or knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with. And the Sheikh, he's saying, this is the season, right? This is the season for tawbah, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's take advantage of these 10 days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and give us understanding. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the benefit of this dars. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Are there any questions, inshallah wa ta'ala, about the virtues of the 10 days of Dhul Hajjah? Any comments or correction? And inshallah wa ta'ala, I want to remind all those who are present that the intensive studies course is every Monday after Maghrib. Okay? After Maghrib in the mosque. Okay? So, inshallah ta'ala, we will have our intensive course every Monday after Maghrib prayer, inshallah ta'ala. And we also have the ABCs of Islam, the new Shahada course, designed for those who are just entering into the religion and want to learn the religion in its purity, inshallah, every Wednesdays after Maghrib prayer in the mosque. Okay, so inshallah, every Mondays and Wednesdays, you can guarantee, inshallah ta'ala, there'll be a class here, inshallah. I thank everybody for coming, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this on our records. Jazakum Allah khair. Put this on our records as good. Everything is good. Make it a good day.